Hello, and welcome to Considering Some Things. There it is. I'm Mark Storer.
And I'm Keith Cox.
And you apparently are not.
No.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, happy 2021.
We are, as you are listening to this, we've made it to, if you are hearing this, we've made it to 2021.
And you know, you've all heard by now, hindsight is officially 2020. And we don't even want to look at hindsight. We don't want even want hindsight at this point.
No one wants hindsight anymore, yeah. Do they?
Yeah.
Well, how are you, old man? What's happening?
Oh my gosh. So, let me tell you, nothing is going on. Are you kidding me? Nothing.
Not, you know, a thing.
No, not a whole lot going on, really. So as we're, it is technically, as we tape this, it's actually not 2021 yet.
It is
so
not. It's just a couple of days before Christmas.
A couple of days, right. I almost had a gig. I was excited by that. And then that fell through for New Year's Eve.
Oh, it fell through?
It fell through. Yeah.
Was it a COVID thing? Did they say we can't do it?
No, these people are the ain't COVID, ain't real kind of people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But that was great. They were still very respectful. So we played for their a woman's 50th birthday party. And she was like, I'm separating you from the crowd. She goes, because, you know, I don't know your thing. And I'm like, I ain't worried about it. She goes, no, all the same, you know. And she put us way, like, on the porch. And then she made everybody stay out in the yard kind of thing.
Nice.
It's very respectful. But, you know, they're also like, you know, COVID's not real, you know. I mean, they weren't. It's not that. I don't think anybody will tell you that COVID isn't real. I think they were just we ain't scared, you know.
Yep.
And these are all our friends. We hang out all the time. And
yeah,
somebody who said for that. And I've got sort of the same thing. I've got a clique of friends that we all know each other and hang out.
Yeah, me too.
And none of us have gotten COVID.
No. None of us. And we might. And who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. It can happen. Of course, it exists. It's real. And it'll mesh up, but I'm not going to stop living my life because of this.
See, that's the thing. We've already thrown away nearly a year of life, and the question is going to quickly become, and I do mean quickly, even if every single media little line is correct and that this is the worst thing since the plague of 1918 and this is the worst, even if that's true, what are you doing with your life?
Right.
See, the government isn't going to protect you.
Nope.
So what are you going to do with your life?
Now, that's a good point, because they don't really. I mean, they make up these funny rules and this, that, and the other. And
they're capricious as
something. Heck. And they literally, the cure is just hide in your house, stay away from everything. Let business fall. I mean, that's just it. And, you know, the interesting thing is California is supposed to be in this lockdown. No one is doing it.
I went
for a motorcycle. So, of course, I'm not playing music right now. I mean, that's just gone.
Right.
So it was a beautiful weekend last weekend. And went for a ride with a kid I used to mentor. I knew him when he was 14.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted to learn how to play guitar. His name is Matthew. Great kid. His parents were going through a horrible divorce and all that good stuff. So I was like this mentor. I gave him, I had a little Washburn, a little $100 guitar. I was using it as a beater guitar around the house. And he just wanted to learn how to play. So I taught him all these chords, gave him the guitar. And, you know, we kind of lost track a little bit off and on. He, you know, grew up. He's 21 now.
Okay.
And he got his motorcycle license. And he's all like, hey, I know you ride. I want to go for a ride. Let's go for a ride. So I haven't seen this kid since he was like 14, 15 years old. And now he's 21. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is really a trip. And we went for a really long ride out to Cambria.
Yeah, I saw that you went to Cambria. That's a long way from me. Well, okay, it's an hour, right?
A little longer. And the reason why is he's got a learner's permit for the motorcycle, which means you can ride it with somebody else, but you cannot take freeways.
Oh,
so which is fine because we took all back roads.
Sure.
So I literally are total. So it was, but it still took. So it took about an hour and a half to get there and then an hour and a half back. And we did just all this. So it was like 3 hours of riding, almost 150 miles, 147 miles we logged. But it was fun. But so we get to Main Street Grill. And
before you go on, let's point out to the lovely ladies and gentlemen who are listening. Cambria is on the central coast. It is north of San Luis Obispo and north of Paso Robles, sort of west of Paso Robles. And it is gorgeous. My wife and I spent many, many a night there. We've met Keith there a number of times. We had Keith and I had a good friend, Chris Olm, who's been a guest on the program, who lived there for a while. I don't know, man. I could argue very, very easily that that's one of the most beautiful spots in the state, in a beautiful state.
Oh, Cambria by the pines by the sea. So all these pine trees everywhere, and it's a thick forest, and then there's the ocean right there. And it is beautiful. And of course, you have to be, you know, uber rich to live there. And it's a tourist, it's a tourist town. You know, the funny thing is, my wife and I always want to see, they do this big, huge Christmas decoration thing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, huge. And we always say, hey, we got to go. And we see our friends taking pictures. I'm like, we should do that. And we just never have for some reason.
Is it going on this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They didn't really. And it's the same thing. We went to my favorite place to ride when we go is Main Street Grill.
Right.
And they do ribs. They do, all the barbecue stuff in the world. Amazing. They got a full bar. For a long, long time, they only took cash.
Wow.
Which was kind of a pain in the butt. And like, you had to run to the whatever. But now they take credit cards and everything like that. Now they're doing all the same thing. They're doing it responsibly in that you have to come, when you come in, got to wear a mask.
Yep.
They've got everything marked. You're 6 feet away. And but then they've got all this outdoor seating. And then it's like you eat outdoors. You can't eat inside. But I mean, they're doing all that. But they didn't shut down. And nor should they. As long as you're being responsible about all this stuff. And I think that's always the key. We're trying to be responsible,
right?
You know, and we're doing what we think we're doing. I mean, I'll question masks all day long, even though, you know. Anyway, I didn't want to go there. But with that said, we're doing the right things. But you got to do some living. You can't destroy these businesses.
And no,
you need a little $600 bailout is doing anybody. That's come on. Let's be real.
$600.
I don't think we even qualify. I think we make too much money. But I mean, I think.
My favorite meme that came out of it so far was a picture of an arcade, and it says your stimulus check is here. You can pick anything from the lower shelf.
Right. Lower shelf. Yeah, I'll take 3 packs of the government cheese. And
dude, we gotta form a band called Government Cheese.
Government Cheese. That is a great band name. Dibs.
Truly is.
Great band name.
Oh, you can't dib it. It's mine. Unless I'm in it.
Okay. Well, we could always go for also powdered milk. Hi, we're powdered milk, everybody.
And we just play like Barry Manilow music.
Oh, yeah.
White people music all the way through.
But that has so many connotations.
It powdered does.
Milk. I mean, powdered it could milk. Certainly. Definitely
it could be not cocaine. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Sure.
Or
speaking of powdered milk and cocaine, have you listened to Van the Man Morrison and Eric Clapton's these guys have gone full bore anti-government, anti-UK government. It is extraordinary. Van Morrison's writing songs that are actually really, I mean, there's something out of a Simpsons episode. They're called things like No More Lockdown and Stand and Deliver is the name of one song that Eric Clapton plays that Van Morrison wrote. And it's all about how we're being robbed of our rights and it's not right. And I'm like, wow, Van Morrison and Eric Clapton basically keeping the fire alive of the 60s rebellion.
You know what's interesting about Van Morrison? I'm not a huge fan, but I respect the guy 100%.
Sure, absolutely.
But he was really pissed off at his label. And he had to do, he owed him 36 songs. So he already had six. He wrote like 30 songs in like a couple of days. And just submitted them. And they were all the horrible songs. And so there you go. Done. Just to get out of,
his contract.
Like, all right, you really want, okay, here you go. He just wrote, crappy songs. I don't think they got published or anything like that. But
that's funny.
I thought that was very interesting.
Well, he's an interesting character. He's always been a little bit outside the lines. And he's continuing to do that, apparently. So
very similar to what Neil Young did when he was really ticked off at his.
Yes.
So he did this rockabilly album.
Yeah.
And he had actually had a hit. It was like Wonder, because I'm Wondering. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember that one.
It was called Wondering. It was in the 80s. And it was just weird, rockabilly, goofy. It was kind of a goofy song, but the whole thing was a flip off to his record label.
which I don't even know if record labels exist anymore. It's just such a weird, the world of music has changed so radically. It's,
yeah, no doubt. Music now is a very, it's different. You're absolutely right.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I am drinking scotch.
Oh, a beaut. Talisker, I believe.
Talisker is what it is that Mr. Scott Wolf gave me. And it's really, I like it. It's reminiscent of the Islay scotches. I don't think it is one, but it's mellower. So it's almost like it's got a little bite. It's got the little peaty, a little bit smoky of the Islay with it, but it's not a Laphroaig at all.
Okay. Which I love, by the way. And you like the Laphroaig peaty.
Oh, yeah. Me too. But this is an easy drink.
I like that smokiness to a scotch. I really
it is.
Like
it. And it's got that smoky peaty thing that I like.
If you choose, if you're put in a position of choice and you say bourbon or scotch, which one do you take?
Oh my God. You know, if you would have asked me this 5 years ago, it would have been scotch.
It would.
There was a time when I was obsessed with it, but now I've got to admit I'm obsessed with the bourbons and the rye.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
I'm just becoming obsessed with them and I'm having a lot of fun with them. You know, they're all good. I mean, I don't say no to a whole lot of alcohols other than, I'll never be a, tequila guy.
Right. Yeah. I'm similar to that. And I agree with you, brother Doug. He got to do a virtual tasting with the, founder's son of Angel's Envy, Wes. I'm going to mess it up here. I could probably look it up real quickly. Yeah. The family that founded Angel's Envy, founder of Angel's Envy. We use Google here on the considering some things. Wes Henderson is his name. Wes Henderson hosted this thing for the company that my brother works for, and they did an online virtual tasting. So everybody had to go buy their own Angel's Envy. So Doug bought the Angel's Envy rye, my friend Keith's favorite beverage of late.
Yeah, baby.
And then he also got the regular bourbon, and he said that he called me and we talked about it, and he asked my opinion, and I it's a fun series of texts. He says to me at one point, in fact, I'm gonna just let you know, because I kept the texts and they're right here. I have pictures of his Angel's Envy and I'm envious. He said ready to go. He put up a picture of the Angel's Envy bottles and a glass. And I wrote, I persist in jealousy, reckless and savage envy. And he wrote, hey, what mixed drink could Katie and I have with this stuff outside of Coca-Cola? I've never, ever mixed bourbon with anything. Can you talk live for a second? I said, you dare not profane that heaven sent beverage with pollutants.
I will drive to your house and take it from you and hit you over the head with a
exactly.
Yeah, I'll take it from you and I'll give you some Johnny Water.
You need. You can have Bullet. Yeah. Yeah, Bullet's good. I don't care.
Bullet. Mix that.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not putting Bullet down. It's good stuff. I drink
it all day long.
Fine.
I don't feel guilty if you're mixing it with whatever crap you want to mix it with.
He ended up making, I taught him how to make an old fashioned and I taught him how to make a Manhattan. And both are great. I said, but Doug, these drinks do not need Angel's Envy in them.
No,
don't do that.
Don't do that. You know, they were doing that, you know, and that's the sad thing is how I discovered Angel's Envy was drinking them in old fashions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm like, this is better than any old fashioned that I ever remember. And I'm thinking, you know, it was the way this guy was just an amazing, he was a good bartender, but I'm like going boom. And then that's when he told me about, well, it's Angel's Envy Rye. And I'm like, really? What's that? Oh, yeah. And then he goes, here, just try it straight. And I'm like, oh, my God. Why are you mixing that with bitters? What's wrong with you?
You are a sad, strange little man.
Yeah, you are a sad, strange little man.
I am, believe it or not, I found a bottle in the back of my cabinet of Remy St. Martin brandy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm having a little brandy. Very smooth, very lovely.
I don't think I've had brandy in like a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I like brandy. And I'm, of course, chasing it with a little strawberry essence Perrier.
Okay.
good feeling.
You know, well, the weird thing is, the sailor said, Brandy, what a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Yeah. Who was that? Who sang that dumb song? Band
called, I loved that song. They were called Looking Glass.
Looking freaking One, glass.
I loved Brandy. It was a great story. You listen to it again. It's a good story. That is a great song.
You're an emotional sap.
I am coming to your emotional rescue. Where did that come from? What band?
Rolling Stones, baby.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very proud of you.
Rolling Stones and they're phasing from blues into their disco phase.
I don't even know what that song. You will be mine. You will be mine. No, mine. Doot, doot, doot.
It was an attempt to be like Bowie, I think.
Maybe. Well, they were dating. Unofficially, so yeah, maybe. You may be right there.
Remember when they went into Live Aid and they recorded Dancing in the Streets?
Yes, I know. That? There was a hilarious YouTube of this where they eliminated all the music.
Oh my gosh,
these two dudes singing and you can hear them like, and then they timed it, and there's the clapping of the feet and everything. Oh, it's hilarious. It was so funny. Definitely what, something that I would have filmed. Absolutely.
I remember watching Live Aid. We were 20 years old. I was 20 years old. And I remember watching that, and I remember thinking to myself, I really enjoyed it. I loved watching all the bands. This is the music I grew up with, you know, at that point in my life, and music was very important to me at that age. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, you know, the Bowie and Jagger thing, and I thought, well, Van Halen's is a lot better.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I love Bowie. I really do.
Oh, no question.
I can't say that I love the Rolling Stones. Mm-mm. It's really weird. I've never been, oh my God, the Rolling Stones, you're the best, and everything like that. I mean, they had a couple of really cool songs.
Yeah, and you got to have some respect for them as a band. The blues and Keith Richards' blues guitar is just brilliant. But other than that, yeah, I'm with you. I don't sit around and listen to it much.
I don't. Well, I mean, you know, if it's a good song, whatever. There's a couple of them that you know, whatever. Right? We even covered Jumping Jack Flash or whatever.
Oh, you gotta cover that.
We covered that. It was a fun song, and I'll cover the I met a gin soaked barroom queen in Memphis.
She
honky tonk woman, that's it.
Yeah, she's a okay. I love singing into this damn microphone.
Yeah, that sounded great, buddy.
Thank you, man. I'm a backup vocalist.
Who sings that again?
That's the Rolling Stones.
Well, let's keep it that way, okay? Sorry you walked into it, buddy. I can't believe you're like, Rolling Stones, you moron. I'm like, dude, let's keep it that way.
You didn't do the, what did you do with the money? The money for singing lessons.
For singing lessons, yeah. That's funny.
You know, it's 2021. Everything's gone to hell since Bowie died.
You need to add reverb. It's 2021. We need space music.
and it doesn't feel any different. The vaccines are out and being pumiced around, and hopefully they're working. I got a text this morning. Well, not a text, a social media text message from this morning from a former student of mine who is a surgical tech. He went on to become a surgical tech, and he's done the traveling thing where he's gone all over the state of California, and he's even traveled out of the state and done some work. And he's back here in town, and he, at our little Pleasant Valley Hospital, he got his COVID-19 vaccine this morning.
Now, you're supposed to get two, right? Isn't it like two shots?
Right. You get one the first one, and then you get one in 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I developed, when I got my shot, I developed an itch in my armpit. It was, I'm just telling you, my left armpit was itchy, itchy, itchy. And then I woke up this morning as an eyeball in my armpit. It's a giant eyeball.
So you've already had your vaccine?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I did not. I'm just joking.
Can you see out of it is really the question.
Yeah, I can't. It's weird.
So most of the time you walk around with your arm up in the air.
Yeah, I get that. And kind of like, actually, I should say it on my back. I had a really bad itchy back, and eyeball. Now I can see. Can't sneak up on me now, man. Yeah. Yeah, COVID. I got me another eyeball.
Oh, man. Well, we're gonna hope that by the end of this year that things are a lot better, and hopefully we're getting back.
No matter what. Yeah, I always look at this, and it's funny, being a student in history as you are, you know, you think about like the Great Depression, you know, and really bad crap that people that they how they had to survive, and darn it, we have to stay in our homes and play, you know, on Xbox all day, you know, and then you realize, you know, okay, this is, life is still pretty damn cool. I'm always, even this with this weird stuff, I still am very thankful because life is groovy. You know, during the Great Depression, people made clothes out of food sacks.
That's right.
Yeah. Flour bags, whatever. I mean, anything made out of burlap, they boom.
Well, and the thing that people like to compare this to, which it bears no comparison, but the thing that people like to compare it to is the 1918 flu. And the people, it was like a 50% fatality rate in 1918. It was very, very high. People were dying left and right, and until it finally, you know, faded out, which this will do too eventually.
I think so.
It's a virus. So. It's what viruses do.
Yeah.
That's the part that I just, every social media post that every person is like, yep, it's bad. There's no question. It harms people. Right now, the fatality rate is 0.05 or whatever it is. It's pretty low. And if you're a relatively healthy person, I saw a great article this morning. Oh, here we go. We're dipping our toes.
I was just trying to go like,
I'm just dipping my toes. It's just feet. That's all it is.
Okay, dip.
Article from 120 different docs and epidemiologists who sent it to world governments. And it's very simple. They said, look, here's the bottom line. This isn't politics. Vitamin D works. Vitamin D lowers deaths. Vitamin D lowers illness. And vitamin D lowers hospitalization. So if you want to take this into your hands, which considering some things always recommends that you do.
Yes.
You should take vitamin D.
Oh, now, and very interestingly, I do take it every day.
Yeah.
You talk to my wife, and she's been studying this stuff a lot. And one of the things she points out, which I 100% agree with, is that, you know, really supplements are much more effective than any type of
medication.
Well, masks and, you know, she's about zinc. And I take zinc every day. I take L-lysine. Yep. I take vitamin D. I take vitamin C. I mean, and I every day.
Yep.
And yeah, I think it helps. When I get older and stuff like that, I think it helps.
And you got to start replenishing what your body naturally loses. And there's no question about it. And I'm sorry that we know that no one ever talked about this, right? No one ever said, you know, you ought to get more exercise, sleep more, get some rest, try to avoid stress. And that instead they say, wear a mask and stay away from each other. It's like,
I think what pisses me off is they won't ever say, hey, you just need to drink heavily. And that pisses me off
because we're doing that anyway.
I think there's something to that. Yeah. The flu. Each year, an average of 5% to 20% of the U.S. population will get the flu.
Yep.
So more than 200,000 people will be hospitalized, roughly on average of the flu, about 85,000 people a year.
Is that the U.S. or is that worldwide?
I'm talking U.S.
U.S. 85,000 people.
Yeah. Right.
Man, oh man.
If you're really going back, Hippocrates reported flu-like disease in 412.
Wow.
412.
412.
Some historians believe that the flu might have contributed to the demise of Athens.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Whoa. So, but
the first documented pandemic was in 1580, which afflicted over 90% of the population.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go.
Now, how did it originate, though? Do we know that?
Well, they're not saying that, but I think it was a wombat. I want to say wombat because that's not an Australian thing, but I don't
know. Saying wombat for 40 some years.
I do wombat. I don't know why. You know why? Because it was a DJ that was saying wombat McNuggets, and I thought that
wombat
was
McNuggets.
Wombat McNuggets. Yeah, Who was it? It was Kayla West DJ, Morning DJ. Frazier Smith. Frazier Smith.
Yeah, you gotta love Frazier Smith.
Yeah.
He's still around, that guy. He is still around. I love that guy. He was funny. Mark and Brian in the morning, I loved them.
All right.
They were terrific. And I miss them. I'd like to stop for a moment and pause on that. The Pittsburgh Steelers lost last night badly to the Cincinnati Bengals. It was
my Chiefs, however, are unstoppable.
Boy, they're incredible.
No.
Did you watch the game against the Saints?
No, I don't watch the games.
You know what? I have.
I will. I'm sorry. I will watch the Super Bowl if they make it.
What if they don't? Will you watch it with me? You gotta watch it. Wow, he actually hesitated and stumbled over his
phrase. If you come over to my place. You know what? I like the Super Bowl for a couple of reasons, mostly because of the commercials. They're funny. Yeah. Of course, my Chiefs, who haven't been in it in 50 years, now all of a sudden, you know, when I'm boycotting, they're like the greatest thing in the world. I'm like, damn it. Why? Totally. If there is a God, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to fuck with Keith a little bit. Boom. Chiefs are awesome. Yeah. Let's see how. And I don't watch. I do not watch. And they were on and blah, 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 but I'll check the scores because I'm not watching and I'm not buying. I won't buy any NFL swag. I refuse.
Buying NFL swag. If the Pittsburgh Steelers go to the Super Bowl, I'm buying NFL swag.
Well, okay.
I'm just saying.
I think if they do go, if it is a Pittsburgh, no, that's not going to happen. Never mind.
It can't be. No.
Wait a minute.
If Pittsburgh and Kansas City wind up in the playoffs, that'll be the game, my friend.
We'll have to, we'll have to hang out so I can watch you cry. Pittsburgh ain't going.
I will cry. You understand Pittsburgh, that?
It will not beat my. Your defense is good. They're not. Kansas City offense good.
Yeah, the Kansas City offense is a thing with which to be reckoned.
Okay, I've got to be. So it's my respect, not only of Andy Reid, because I respect the guy, but sir, this Mahomes kid, that the passion that he has is just so cool. You know, and I've watched lots of fun videos, and the dude is not only just incredibly good, but he is having fun out there. You know, which is truly making
sure
a kid.
Is.
Dude is not in, and he's taken some mega hits. I heard the last game he took a beat with the Saints. And you know, but I love how they play because it was funny because they led most of the game, and then all of a sudden they lost their lead, and then they just bring it right, and they just get it right back. You can't ever count them out. Last season, we'll tell you that if you watched, them, through the playoffs and how they were losing all playoff games, they were losing each playoff game. They're getting their ass whooped. And then they come back. Oh, I was just kidding. Third and fourth quarter. Good night. And they just like, whoop, 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 and it's just, that's what they do. And it's like, they like being behind. Yeah, it's really funny. And so
there's some truth to that.
Yeah. It's just like, all right, then they just like that adversity and we're going to rally and just kick ass. And then all of a sudden they just get serious. So it's their MO. I think the worst thing, the smart thing is let them get ahead. I don't know. They're just they're a fun team. And I really think, I'm thinking they're going to be one of those dynasties. Cause I think this kid, unless somehow, knock on wood, worst case scenario, he gets hurt. I think they're going to be a contender for a good long. They're kind of like reminiscent of the Patriots.
Yeah, right. There's a domination.
He's got that Tom Brady feel, and Tom Brady kind of, and I've always respected them. I never you hated the Patriots just because they're winning every year. Was the same damn story.
Yeah,
and that's what's going to happen with the Chiefs. Everybody's going to like the Chiefs again. I just think they're going to be in it for a while.
But it's from New England versus Kansas City, and there's something very cool about it being a Midwest working class city, as opposed to New England, which is, not a working class place, though there are plenty of working class people in New England. It's just not, that's not what it's sort of, reputation is. And Kansas City's reputation as it's a tough town. It's a place where the mob was very active. It was a devil may care kind of place. And Mahomes, his father was quite the baseball player.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, he's got some legend to live up to, and he's living up to it beautifully. That guy is, and look, his offense, his wide receivers, his running backs, he's
and in, that's incredible. Huge. There's all the way down to his line, which has got to be, if you're on his front line, it's almost got to be miserable blocking for the dude because he never stays in the pocket. I mean, you know, and that's right. That were some of the complaints that, you know, of course you're getting sacked all the time because you're not going to stick in your pocket. So, you know,
he's fast.
So there's a dude who can run to the left and all of a sudden throw to the right. I mean, he has got this insane, surreal, just awareness of everything that's going on. It's a trip. Again, you can't make those. So now he's thrown interceptions, but even then, his interception ratio is extremely low.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and he's got a lot of physicality. He brings just a ton of physicality.
He ain't afraid to run, and he's he's a big boy, but he can run. And of course, his pinpoint accuracy is amazing for the most part. Even when he makes weird throws, I have nothing but respect. And of course, when you read about him, granted, I know PR people are always about just polishing all their football players, but he just looks like he's a Boy Scout.
Yeah, you know, in many ways,
sweet and guy who's helping.
And of course, his State Farm commercials are above par. They're some of the best. Of course,
the hair commercial—that's great. Yeah. Hey, do you know how many different types of flu viruses there are?
I think there's more than 10.
No, there are 3.
No, that's not true.
Influenza A, B, and C.
You're kidding.
Yeah, A is the most severe of the 3. And that's the outbreaks in birds and humans.
Really?
It was the cause of H1N1, like the Spanish flu and the fly. So you're thinking, because they get all these different names.
That's what I was thinking. The H1N1.
A, B, or C. Influenza B is exclusively found in humans, but will mutate. Influenza Z. Well, I'm sorry.
C.
That's what I said. C infects humans, dogs, pigs. And wombats.
I want people to notice our agility right now. We are the Patrick Mahomes of the podcast world.
Of the podcast world. And but that's same thing. I was thinking all these different names, but you have to know that when you say H1N1, that was an influenza A.
Okay. So A is the most severe.
Yes. It's the most severe of the 3.
Okay.
And again, birds, humans, that kind of thing. Where C is probably, more infectious because it'll hit humans, dogs, pigs, but it's kind of a rare bird.
You know, I've had dogs since 1999. I've had them as a kid too. And so, you know, there were a couple of years there we lived without, but and I've had dogs most of my life and I've never had a dog get the flu.
Can you imagine? Woof. Woof.
I got a fever.
I don't feel good.
I've never had a dog get the flu.
Not that I know of. Yeah. Well, I mean, they get other weird things like kennel cough and
they do.
Bridget, my dog, she's got irritable bowel syndrome, man. She reminds me of you. I want to change her name to Mark.
You know, that's below the belt.
That brisket ain't sitting right.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is going back to, there are 3 different flu viruses, but there are an unknown number of strains.
Okay.
So as the flu is constantly mutating. Okay. So each year you'll get 3 or 4 strains. So that's why, you know, we'll develop this flu shot, but sometimes it's strange and all of a sudden it's now like 20% effective because there's like 5 strains that happen at once.
Well, and see, that's what they're afraid of is happening right now with COVID. The UK, they've got a new strain and they're trying to figure out what it is. But the bottom line is the vaccine effective or not? You know, and it may not be.
And of course, for the flu vaccine, you should get it by October because most of the activity peaks in January, basically.
January, February, right. Yeah it makes sense.
And then it takes about 2 weeks for the antibodies from the vaccine to develop to the body. So get vaccinated relatively early. September, October. That's really when you want to get the vaccine.
Okay.
There have been 4 major flu epidemics, by the way. Spanish flu, Asian flu, Hong Kong flu, and most recently the swine flu.
And we never locked down for any of them.
Any of them, right.
Never.
The Spanish flu caused the highest mortality rates, approximately 20 million worldwide. And that was in 1918, by the way.
Yep.
20 million. So we haven't quite had 20 million deaths with COVID yet.
No, not yet.
Let's give it some time.
Yeah.
The Russian flu in 1889 was like 1 million deaths. That's pretty hefty.
Wow.
But then again, you know, Russian flu? huh?
Why was it called Marsh?
Because it was really fast. Woo-hoo, I'm really in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. I'm going to get you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I was talking about, you know, it's weird because I would teach bloodborne pathogen classes.
Yeah.
And we were talking about hepatitis.
Yeah. My father had hepatitis. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. C and B. C is a nasty one. B is weird. It's a harder to get, but it's also really a stout cootie.
Yeah.
So hepatitis. So these are bloodborne. So when you say hepatitis, they live in your blood. They're not an airborne type of virus. They live in the blood. Okay. And most of the times a bloodborne virus, when let's say you cut yourself and it drops on the ground, that kind of thing. So that'll live about, you know, 8 hours. When it dries, when the blood dries, it dies. Okay. So hepatitis B can live in dried blood for 7 days.
Wow.
In dried blood. It is a stout cootie.
Wow.
And the interesting thing
is, stout cootie, by the way, is the best term you've ever come up with.
Thank you, stout cootie. That's my new band name. I wear the stout cooties.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. That a lot. Powdered milk is opening for us. We're the
powdered milk opens, but stout cootie is holding the stage, my friend.
All right, keep going. Yeah. I want to know more. Well, so the 1918. Yeah, you know what the doctors prescribed for the to help people?
What?
Shot of whiskey.
See, and it worked. Well, okay, 20 million times. It worked.
But man, you didn't care if it worked or not.
There you go. That you was felt the good. It's what
now counts. There were other doctors that would say a half bottle of wine a day. Wow. You know, so
those are for the Italians,
right? And then there were the folk remedies like eating and bathing in onions. That was a big one. The Colgate Company.
Stop.
Bathing onions.
Bathing in
onions. Yeah. Mostly that's where they got the name stew from. Thank you.
You know, it was probably some doc who turned out to be like a what do you call that? I can't even think of it. Cannibal.
Dr. Yeah, really? Why are you staring at me funny? I'm the food inspector.
Put some warm water and dump in onions and then sit in the bathtub.
So the Colgate Company, who, you know, of course, you know,
toothpaste.
Yeah. They recommended do not wear tight clothes and shoes.
Well, that's probably good advice generally.
But no, that would cause the flu. If you want to prevent the flu, no tight clothes. And chew your food carefully. Apparently, if you just chewed carefully, the flu wouldn't get you.
You see, these are good old-fashioned remedies. It didn't work worth a spit.
Nothing. Yeah. So there's just some interesting facts about the flu. I thought that it would just kind of.
Well,
by the way, influenza.
Yep.
Is the Italian word for? Give me a guess. I'm going to allow you a guess. Influenza, Italian word for
big vomit.
Yes. Oh my God.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. It's in the word. Influenza.
Influenza.
One influenza the cuckoo's nest. Influence, you moron. Influence.
Well, that makes sense. Influence why?
Well, because it refers to the cause of the disease. So people believe that, even back in those days, that planets, stars, and moon influence the flu.
Ooh,
my God. Jupiter made me thick.
Well, think about it. Jupiter and Saturn just aligned last night.
Oh, yeah, weird. Ooh, yeah, that's going to be a heavy. That's a double hitter. Yep. So
maybe the COVID got worse when that happened.
The COVID gave me the diabetes. I'm just saying the COVID.
Just never going to get old. Because at some point, we're going to get tired of our pontificating and our righteous indignation, and we're all going to realize, it's a virus, man.
And flus are weird. Now again, you know, I'm talking about the flu because all of a sudden it's just not relevant this year because it's the COVID. But I mean, I they're still, we are talking about airborne or aerosol transmissible disease.
Well, this is what I don't understand, Keith, is what you were talking about earlier when we were talking about the mask issue and wearing a mask. Now, we are told this year that flu is at all-time lows. San Diego County reported this year 39 cases as opposed to 17,000 cases last year. And when asked why they believe this is so, the San Diego County Health Department says, well, it's because people have been distancing and masking. But then COVID cases are continuing to rise, right? We're going up and into, you know, astronomical areas, and hospitals are overflowing and blah, blah, blah. Well, wait, I thought people were masking and distancing. It's the same exact thing. Or is there a different way to mask and distance for COVID? Because you can't have it both ways, can you? You can't say flu is down because people are masking and distancing and then say COVID cases are up because people aren't masking and distancing.
No, right. Absolutely. And the COVID thing, of course, now, what is it, England that's saying, oh, my God, wait, there's a new strain. There's a new strain, you know, and why is that shocking?
Yeah.
Like, you know, anything out of the flu, like I mentioned in our little trivia there, you know, you'll get three or four strains that'll happen in the same year.
Yeah, coronaviruses actually mutate very quickly.
They should.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny talking to my wife because she always believed there had to be, there's probably a couple of strains of COVID and one that's really nasty. And I mean, speculation, but I mean, it made sense to me.
Absolutely.
Why would the COVID not? The COVID. Here we go.
I like calling it that.
Why did the COVID?
How about?
Why wouldn't it give you the diabetes?
Mama got the COVID.
Mama got the COVID. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that's it's as simple as that, right? Maybe people who end up getting very, very sick from it get the wrong strain.
Well, you know? I suspect that has to be it. I mean, although they're starting to, you know, we're seeing a pattern here of who's dying and whatnot. You're really old. You've got a pre-existing condition. You know, you've got a bad heart. You've got cancer. You've got really a
compromised
bad,
immune system.
Got the diabetes. You've got a compromised immune system. Correct. So when that happens, you can't fight it and it just kicks your ass. Now, same holds true with the flu.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the flu will kick your ass if you're... Now, of course, it kicked your ass back in the 1918s because you didn't get, you just got a shot of whiskey.
And it probably wasn't even good whiskey.
Oh, my God, no. 1918, the whiskey was horrific.
Can you imagine if you're in West Virginia in 1918? Well, maybe you were getting good whiskey at that point.
Depending on maybe, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not, it's going back to my philosophy and everything like that. I think we try to take a little more care, and we are. Well, that said, stop shutting down business. Let everybody, if we do the social distancing thing, we stop it. You're killing us. And that $600 a month or whatever, come on.
Yeah. Well, you know? And you know, let's look at statistics. It's, you know, at some point you're going, well, let's look at the cause of death. San Francisco, up until I think it was 2 days ago, so that would be December 20th, had 173 COVID deaths documented. They had 621 drug overdoses, suicides. Mm-hmm. So in the same time period. So if you're a public health person, which one is more of the public health problem?
Right.
That's the part that gets to me so badly. It's like you can't make the cure. This is common sense, people. The cure cannot be worse than the disease. And right now, that in this state, the cure is worse than the disease.
Right.
We're killing businesses. We're sacrificing people's livelihoods on the altar of COVID-19.
I agree.
Did we get political there?
So. We sure did, dude. And you know what? Hey, for anybody listening, you disagree, you have a dissenting comment, please, on our webpage, you know, go to consideringthings.com.
Consideringsomethings.com. That's why you're co-host.
You just took the wind out of my sail.
Well, you said considering things.
You took the wind. Out of my cool whip.
One day, we're going to develop this podcast into consideringallthings.com. Oh, wait. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, no, we're not. I'm thinking we need to change it, by the way. The considering, not a goddamn thing. I had to, and I once Samuel Jackson to be involved in this, by the way.
I think he should be. Yeah, that's a, well, and we could phase it in slowly. So like a couple of episodes would be, we're not considering much at this point.
So you remember last week we talked about, you know, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
I have the list right in front of me.
Oh, no, yeah, don't look at the list.
I'm looking at the list. Are you kidding me? I'm not. You can't quiz me on a thing like that and say, do you remember what it was? Evil Dead was one of them.
I loved Evil Dead. But we were talking about Samuel Jackson. That's why I'll segue.
Oh, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, love Pulp Fiction.
Yep. That's what, that is your
wallet, which, by the way, I have. The wallet. Do you remember? Did you see Pulp Fiction? Please tell me you've seen it.
Of course, yes.
Okay, so remember the wallet?
I don't remember the wallet.
Okay. It was.
Oh, God. Yes. Okay. I remember the wallet. Yeah.
He's like, reach in there and grab. He had a bag of wallets. He goes, reach in and grab my wallet. He goes, which one's yours? He said, and pardon my French, it's the one that says bad motherfucker.
That's it.
Right. And of course, at that point, we all had to, and I have the wallet.
You have it too.
It says bad motherfucker on there. Which, by the way, that wallet actually belonged to Quentin Tarantino. And it was his because he picked it up. It's a reference to the 71 film Shaft. That Shaft is a bad film out. Just talking about Shaft. That's why he got it. It was for Shaft.
Yep.
So, because Quentin Tarantino is a big fan. So anyway, I thought that was really cool.
Shaft was one of the great shows. Shaft was one of the great shows. Wow, of the, there were great shows in the 70s, and Shaft was one of them.
Was that considered a black exploitation?
Yeah. Probably so. Probably so.
Still pretty cool, because Shaft was
really, Shaft.
He was a bad mother.
And then, of course, that gave birth to one of my favorite shows in the 80s was Spencer for Hire from the novels.
Like Shaft, Spencer reminded me of Shaft.
Not Spencer, but Hawk.
I never watched the show. Now I
feel bad. Oh, Hawk was fantastic. He'd have these great moments where he'd have to basically run security for Spencer, who was played by Robert Urich. And Hawk. Yeah, Hawk was the guy.
Like you're trying to clear your throat when you say that.
And
what's his name?
One of my favorite moments is getting into a fight with a guy, and the guy's just about to charge him. He goes, "You feeling froggish now? Leap!" I use that term all the time.
Oh my god, what was that? Oh my god, trying to remember that movie. Never mind.
Come on, you know? Avery Brooks played Hawk.
Okay, I'm going to give you the quote, and you tell me where the quote came from. Okay. And the quote was, oh, my God, it was at Apple's. I'm just trying to remember the name of the movie where it was a doctor who was given abortions and all that stuff, but it was a good time feeling.
I don't know this movie very well.
this is really a feel-good movie about abortion.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
And picking apples. And the leader of the
Cider House Rules.
Yes, Cider House Rules. Thank you. Yes. And the head picker guy or whatever, there was one jerky dude. And his saying was like, hey, he's about to get in a fight with him. Was what business you in? You know? And he was saying, Apple Pay, well, I'm in the ass kicking business and you do not want to go in business with me. I think he said knife fighting business. Because the guy pulled a knife on him. He goes, what business you in? Because I'm in the knife fighting business and you do not want to go in business with me. I loved that saying.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I used it and I got my ass kicked, but I used it. And the guy goes, oh, really? Whap. I'm like, ow. You're supposed to be scared. You're supposed to be scared.
I'm calling my mom.
Do you know what the snow? You remember the famous scene in Wizard of Oz? Where the snow was coming down, they all fall asleep or whatever.
Yes.
You know what that was made of?
It has to be some kind of soap.
Heroin. No, just joking. even worse, asbestos. true.
It was.
That was asbestos. Totally
harmless.
Asbestos-based snowflakes.
Miss Garland, don't worry about it. It's totally harmless.
Whatever. And you can't burn it. It's really cool.
Oh my god.
Can't. It was a popular Christmas decoration back in those days.
Oh my god.
Asbestos. And they're all in.
Merry Christmas. Sprinkle, here's sprinkle, your asbestosis.
Sprinkle. Oh my god. I've got asbestosis and I can't breathe. Yeah.
do you remember they used to talk about that at schools when we were in school? They say, well, there's asbestos and the kids might get asbestosis. And it's like, yeah, they probably won't though.
No, they won't. Yeah. And we take that stuff very seriously. Now, by the way, and asbestos is funny. It's still an issue because we've just piled stuff on top of asbestos. So we're doing now, you know, there's tile. You go to some of our schools, three layers, there's tile from the, you know, the 40s. Yeah,
we found
it. Like, oh, no, don't move it. Don't move it. Tile over it.
Tile over it because there's asbestos afoot.
Yeah, asbestos. Now it's lead, by the way. That's going to be the new thing.
That'll be the new thing.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we've got lead-free everything. By the way, technically speaking, lead-free is a scam because when they say that, it just means as long as there's X amount of lead under the rating, then you can say lead-free.
Oh,
so in other words, paint still has lead, but it's just a very...
Are we ever going to get the truth about anything? Is it?
No. As long as, you know, you got to thank the FDA and all these people for that because they just said, all right, as long as it's under 0.00 microns.
What's everyone thinks about these? I want to work for that agency, right? The FDA. Well, why aren't you releasing this vaccine yet? Well, we're thinking about it.
Kicking it, checking it out and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but tablecloths were originally designed to be used as one big communal napkin. Tablecloths were napkins.
You know why? Because this is an Amish thing, and I grew up in Amish country for a while.
Turkey.
They used the tablecloths as a giant big napkin. That makes sense. Okay. It's perfectly acceptable.
Really? Have you done that?
All the time.
Okay. I didn't realize you're Amish. I didn't.
I grew up around Amish people, and I spent some time around them, and I knew about that. Yeah, absolutely. See, there's something I knew.
That is something.
It's the only thing I knew so far.
Here's something weird. All right. You know, before alarm clocks and way before smartphones and stuff like that, there were people called knocker uppers. Knocker uppers. And they would literally knock on people's windows to wake them up in time for work.
You're joking. That's not true.
Yes. This actually, up until the 70s, they would use like
them up.
They would. I don't know. they were called knocker knocker. Knocker upper uppers. Knocker. Anyway.
There's something weird about that. Now, why do we say knocked up when you get pregnant?
Well, if you didn't wake up, that's what you're going to do. That dude ain't waking up. I'm going to go knock her up on his wife now. What's going to happen?
That's too good.
Now, here's weird. Redheads. Now, I've always had an affection for redheads. I kind of, you know, whatever. I like redheads a little bit, but and blondes. That's my thing. But in ancient Greece, they believe redheads were vampires. Redheads became vampires. So it's partly because redheads were very pale.
Well,
they were very pale skinned and sensitive, right? So, you know, where the Greeks, Greece, they were all like olive skinned and dark. And they all of a sudden, some Irish chick shows and they're like, what is this? That sounds worse. I don't know how to do a Greek accent.
Do you do a Greek accent at all?
No, I don't even know. It's Greek to me.
Vindex. That's all I know is Vindex.
Oh, no. Vindex. Oh, no. You like the juice? Look at that redhead. She's all pale. Probably a vampire. You like a juice on the vampire.
I can't imagine that the Greeks have a long history with vampires.
Well, apparently when the Irish showed up, they're like, what's that? Vampire.
What did the Irish go to Greece for? Vacation.
Probably to get a suntan for crying out loud.
Yeah. So pale. It's just the sun doesn't shine much from where you're from, are you?
And let me ask you this. You know this. What was the first official Medal of Honor? When were they awarded? During what war?
World War One.
No.
It was two?
No. American Civil War.
Oh my gosh, it goes all the way back.
Union soldiers who participated in the Great Locomotive Chase of 1862.
Whoa.
Do you remember that at all?
No.
Oh, my God. It was a...
No. Tell me about it.
I don't have all the details.
Why not?
I don't feel like looking it up, but I could.
Well, I'm looking it up right now, so I'm going to tell you about it.
Oh, let me tell you about it. So the Great Locomotive Chase, by the way, Andrew's raid, was a military raid that occurred in Georgia. during the American Civil War. So volunteers in the Union Armory, they were doing a lot of damage. They're fighting and everything like that. And they're beating up the Western Atlantic Railroad line from Atlanta to Chattanooga. So they pursued, they were pursued by the Confederate forces, first on foot, then later on a bunch of locomotives. And the Union men had cut the telegraphic wires. Anyway, it was a really cool thing. You got to read it. It reads like they should make a movie of this because it's fascinating what these dudes did.
That's awesome. There is a movie about it. And
is there?
Yeah, there are several.
Because it was really, when you read about it and how they survived and how they fled, and they were just the Confederates are right on their butts the whole time. And these guys just kept on. Just getting away, and they're messing, and they just kicked butt. And so
they were captured, right? These Union guys were captured by the Confederates and were put to death as spies.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
But they got awarded the Medal of Honor posthumously.
That's posthumously. By, of course, the best president ever, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Did you know that he used to wrestle?
Yes, I did know that. And do you know why I knew that? Because my mother used to watch the show Gunsmoke, and there is an episode of Gunsmoke in which the show always had this sort of cold opening. It would there'd be an opening sort of 1 minute segment, and then the title sequence would happen. You know, and in the cold opening of one episode, the main character of Gunsmoke is wrestling with somebody, and the opponent wins, and he says, "Excellent job, Mr. Lincoln."
Nice.
I remember that from a kid. Yeah. I tell you, I'm all full of useless information.
You're just steeping in useless. That's great.
Like a tea bag.
So what, by the way, let me ask you this. What is older than the Aztec Empire?
Would it be the Celts?
Think of schools.
Think of school.
Yeah. Skills.
Fish? I don't know what you mean by school.
Yes, fish. They're old. The University of Oxford.
Oh, my God. The Celts, right?
I don't know. All I know is they first opened their doors in 1096.
It's older than the
Aztec Empire. Was like 1325.
Is that right?
That's right.
Bunch of
Jose's come lately.
That was really bad. That was inappropriate.
Was it inappropriate?
Probably so. Yeah. Well, no problem. Johnny, then I
thought that was worse.
You could have. Yeah.
Chiefs are probably going to become the. Anyway.
So Oxford opened in 1096.
Yes, 1096.
That's really. I mean, there was, you know, there was 1,000 years worth of knowledge, and they thought, okay, that's good enough. Let's go.
There you go. Pretty much. Well, there's a great movie out that, by the way, and I started watching it, but and it's about the dude who was writing the Oxford Dictionary.
Oh yeah,
we got help with this crazy dude who was played by Sean Penn.
Really,
yeah, it's great. You'll love it. I can't What's remember the called? Name of it.
Oh shoot!
You're asking a guy who has no memories of anything.
Well, as the guys on the Grand Tour would say, on that very disappointing note, I believe it is time to end our show.
Oh, we got 3 minutes left. Let me tell you this.
All right.
Did you know that Russia ran out of vodka celebrating the end of World War II? They literally ran out.
Whoa. Yeah.
They had a big party that lasted
for
days.
I want you to think about that, people. Vodka.
All the nation's vodka reserves ran out in 22 hours after partying started.
Wow.
There you go. That would be harsh.
So they started making it again. That's where the potatoes came from. Potatoes.
I don't know why. So. Gosh.
What did you say?
I did it in an Irish accent. Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Hey, Irish. Have some potatoes. Did you know, by the way, George Washington actually owned a whiskey distillery?
I did. In fact, not only did I know that, you can still buy whiskey from that distillery when you go to Mount Vernon.
Still rich, man. He's making bucks.
Yeah. Yep. One of my favorite memes in the whole world is the George Washington meme going around. It is sort of anti-lockdown, and it says, it's a picture of George in his general's outfit, and it says, me and my homies would be stacking bodies by now.
That's funny.
Yeah, he in fact, the whiskey apparently is quite good. You can buy it at Mount Vernon. I nearly bought some, but it was not cheap, and so I thought better of it. Wanted to stay married is what that amounted to.
There was an Olympics in, you know, knowledge of history. You would do well.
I think I would like that.
You know, by the way, there you go. 1912 to 1948, the Olympic Games held competition in the fine arts.
Did it really?
Truthfully. They would give medals for like literature, architecture, sculpture, painting, music.
How do you work out for that?
It's brain. It's kind of like Jeopardy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
They should bring that back.
They should, actually. Why don't all this, you know, now it's all skateboarding and, you know.
And now there's like going to be breakdancing, I believe, is going to be.
See, why not? Yeah. But you know, let's bring back the Olympics of the brain.
I'm down for that. I'm ready for it.
I guess they can't compete with Jeopardy, though. I think that's
well. And now, but they should do it in Alex Trebek's honor. You know, posthumously. You know, honor the old man and do it.
I'm with you.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think that probably by this point we've got two or three listeners, and I'm very grateful.
No, we're done. This was a great show. This was a lot of fun. I mean, in a trivial kind of way. And we were all over the place, as we always are. But we want to thank all you listeners. If you like the show, you know, give us a little comment somewhere in our little, on our Considering Some Things website.
www.consideringsomethings.com. You can find us all over.
You don't have to say www.
No, but I like to.
All right, go ahead.
But we can find us at Spotify. You can find us at Amazon Podcasts. You can find us Stitcher. On iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher. We are Amazon, everywhere. Yeah, Google Podcasts. Everywhere. Yeah, we're everywhere. And we love it when you write to us, even if what you want to say is we're terrible people, which is okay.
We like to hear that. And we'll answer you truthfully and then delete you.
And tell you why you're wrong.
Tell you why you're wrong. Yeah, so please let us debate the finer points of Lincoln's wrestling career. Thank you all so much for hanging out. I'm Keith Cox.
I'm Mark Storr. Thanks for joining us and considering some things, and be well in 2021.
Banana.